Ruby. Ruby.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening, Hanak. What
You're
section are we
here.
On? Okay.
What was the question?
Which section are we on?
31.
A partial oath.
And we're going to start at 2:45.
2:45. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm going to just mute my phone.
Okay. Ruby, you don't have to unmute. I just
You were saying
you
something, Hanak?
Yeah, you don't have to unmute. I just like to keep going.
Okay.
Good evening, Malka. I just like to keep it something said so that it goes up. So we're starting with. The Parsha of Noah, the Sulam commentary of the Zohar. We're in section 31, and we're starting with Pasuk 2:45. And I'll start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud could show the Lishkin Tavi, the Lishkin. Limud Torah mitzvah, la sok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei adeinu kanenei aleinu ma'asei adeinu kanenehu. Pasuk 2:45. Amar Rabbi Yesa, kud shabarichu, adem na'kara, yashalta ha'hu, nachash. Aval begin Jehova, the Adam eat lat yayo, begin the molat, alma behahu, yoma nafkat, ara mehahio, killa, 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 Bethaima Pihara Behahio Giri Utaha Bhagavata Bhikkhu Kumana Bhikkhu Bialma the East Yisrael Yisrael Al Arachon Amar Rabbi Yesa, Behahu Yenuka, Mashmach, Amarlo Abba, Amarlo Abba, Tehai, Tehei Bekola, Behachma, Uvish, Vishnin, Karalea, Yismach. Avicha v'imecha v'tagel yolatecha. Rabbi Yesa said that the Holy One, blessed be He, diminished the moon, which was the female principle, even before Adam sinned, and the serpent took over. But because of Adam's sin, it was cursed as well, in order to curse the world that received light from it. On the day that Noah offered his sacrifice, only the land, which is the female principle, was freed from the curse. But the moon's light was still diminished. Only when there is an offering in the world and the nation of Israel live in their land, will moon's deficiency be set right. This refers to the time of King Solomon and contradicts the words of the young boy, who said that Noah's offering resulted in permission for the earth to leave the dominion of the serpent. He claimed that the curse had been canceled, but the dominion of the serpent still prevailed. That is why the offerings of Israel are required in the temple. Rabbi Yesa then asked the young boy for his name. He replied, Abba, which means father. Rabbi Yesa continued, you shall be a father in all things. You shall be a father in wisdom and in years. And he applied to him the verse, your father and your mother will be glad, and she that bore you shall rejoice. Questions, comments, thoughts? That sounds like a thought of questions.
Well, we had discussed in the couple portions back that we thought that maybe the cleansing of the land of the flood, and here it's saying that no, possibly no, that it was not until the time of King Solomon, so that the land would be taken from Satan.
Right.
If I'm understanding that right, is that correct?
Yes, but
so,
it is correct. But you're missing a little subtlety. And that is
okay.
That the land was cursed. The land became controlled by Satan when the moon was diminished.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So the land was given to Satan as the effect of the moon, which is Malchut, losing its light. And therefore, the Satan could move. If you visualize the parameter of the two trees, one with both roots, not both roots, but one tree hanging down to Malchut, and the other one growing up to Malchut, so they're mirror images of each other. And when the moon is diminished, it means Malchut lost the light, which meant that Satan could move up, could grow past where he was limited before because of the light. The light Satan cannot handle. The negative system cannot handle the strength of the pure light.
Okay.
Now, additional negativity was put into the land through the negative actions of human beings. during the generation of the flood. Now the boy had said that because of when Noah offered his sacrifice, the land was escaped from the clutches of Satan. Now, Rabbi Musa is saying the land didn't escape from Satan yet. It took until King Solomon, when the people lived in the land. It was necessary for the children of Israel to be in the land. And there's a message to us in this relative to the coming of Mashiach, because Mashiach really cannot manifest until the people live in the land. Some of the readings of the prophecies are that Mashiach will tell people to come to the land. So you have this difference of opinion.
Okay.
But Rabbi Yessa is saying that the boy is wrong. He's not saying that the boy lacks wisdom. He's just saying specifically this teaching he thinks is incorrect. But they're both possible, aren't they?
Yeah. True.
Because we could be talking about different levels that the land, how deep does the land go into the negative system?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. You want to ask another question?
Well, going back to where the moon diminished itself, did all the sparks at that point fall, or did some say, even you say it was before, or the Torah, the Zohar says, even before Adam, the moon was diminished. Was all
correct.
The sparks, they all fell, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Hanak, I have a question.
Go ahead, Ruby.
The moon was diminished.
Yes.
Will the moon be reestablished its position in the time of Mashiach?
Even before that, I think. The moon represents the female. On the fourth day of creation, the sun, the moon, and the stars were created. At the end of that day, just before sunset, the moon goes to Hashem and says, how can you have two kings? There's the sun and there's myself, and we both have this equivalent light. How can you have two lights? How can you have two kings? He was asking, who's in control here? And Hashem's answer to her was, you're right. You can only have one leader, one king. Don't diminish yourself, which she did. Now, then in Isaiah, we have a prophecy. I don't remember which chapter. It's one of the 50s. But we have an Isaiah prophecy that says, the moon will grow to the level of the sun, and then
yes,
together they will grow seven times. Now, is that going to be before Mashiach or after Mashiach? It's unclear. But if you look at the world with open eyes, you see females asserting themselves.
But are we considered to be like Israel? Are we in the period of like the seventh or sixth millennium? Like if you're looking at like the 10-7 row. I'm sorry?
Because of the static, I'm having a hard time making out. Are you asking me? You mean?
There's a lot of static. I'm asking you if we were in, we're still in, like, if you look at the 10 Sephiro, and you got Keter, Hokmah, Hesed, Tiferet, Netzach, Bina, Gevura, are we in like the seventh millennium? Where this?
No, we're in the sixth millennium.
Okay.
At the end of the sixth is when Shabbat comes in. Shabbat comes in at the end of the sixth day. And that's where we are now. The seventh millennium is 1,000 years of peace, of serenity, of all the good things. But we can make that 1,000 years 1,100 years or 1,200 years. We can bring Shabbat early, just like we can every week. If Shabbat comes in, figuratively speaking, at 6 p.m., you can bring it in at 3:30 or 4 o'clock. Now, we haven't brought it in early yet, but we can.
Hey, Hanok. Is this my thought pattern of the moon coming to Hashem and asked that question? Was she, to me, she humbled herself.
Was she diminished herself? Whether that's humbling, or what was her motivation for asking the question? Was she saying, I want to be above the male? Was she saying that I need to be in control?
I have read where she wanted to be, there was like a jealousy or an envy, and that she was ordered to go.
That is one of the contemplations, one of the explanations. But do you feel, over history, were women jealous of each other? Were women jealous of men? It doesn't fit I know of women. They might be jealous of each other, but they recognize the difference in the male and female attributes. Whereas in this generation, you have females trying to be men in some cases. I don't mean to keep interrupting you, Martha. Go ahead.
Well, I think that women have all those tendencies that we were just speaking about. They all have, as women, do have those tendencies at times. So that's a good question.
That's why they call it women.
Yeah. is there an answer to that question, or is it still an open question? What was her intention?
I've never read a midrash that answered it completely. I think, all as you say, women have all of these attributes, and all of those may have been the results. I mean, when I hear the story, what occurs to me is, what is the effect of asking a question? Of asking a question to Hashem? Aren't we supposed to ask questions? Well, the moon asked a question. It was a logical, reasonable question. And he says, oh, go and diminish yourself. He says, you're right, go diminish yourself. I'm paraphrasing. But essentially, this is the, is this the effect of asking a question? You get your answer, and then you have to contemplate the answer. Now, if you're thinking in terms of reward and punishment, is diminishing yourself a reward, or is it a punishment?
Maybe it's not neither one.
I'll accept that as one of the possibilities also. So to answer your question, Malcolm, no, it's not definitively defined or established. It's a midrash that attempts to explain the motivations, all of the different ones. As we've spoken, there's jealousy, there's a desire to control, there's knowing that you have the more correct intuition, and therefore males should take the back seat and should follow your lead because your intuition is stronger. There are many different attributes.
Yeah, this is very true. Women's intuition is stronger than the male side, absolutely. But, you know, men have some of those attributes as well, you know.
Correct. What men are taught is women, when Eve was separated from Adam, Eve was created as the 10th Sephirah of Adam. Adam has 9 Sephirot, which is Keter, Hakma, Bina, Zeran, Pin, but Malchut is missing. Mm-hmm. See, that's why a man needs to get married, because he needs a woman to be his Malchut. To be without a woman, a man cannot manifest, which is the nature of the Malchut. That's why you have single men make lots of money and then it flows through their hands and disappears on them, because they don't have a woman to manifest it properly in a balanced way.
Well, yeah, and you know, Malchut to me is like they ground the men, you know, to where they settle them down, I guess. This is what my thoughts being Malchut and being Earth, you know, being where we are.
Exactly. That's very good. And then so you turn around and say, all right, but a woman doesn't have to get married. She has all 10 Sephirot within her. But what men are taught is we are Zeran Pim. We balance between Bina and Malchut. And so a woman, and that's where you get the adage that a woman can build a man, meaning motivate him to grow to the level of Bina, which she is connected to, or she can destroy a man, meaning she brings him down to the lower level of Malchut.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the issue between males and females. You know, I jokingly say the difference between a man and a woman is they're two different species. And they really are. But learning to live with each other is very much a correcting process.
Yes, it is. And, you know, sometimes a woman will let a man believe that he's correct, knowing that he's really not. You know, she'll step down, just let him enjoy, bask in that feeling, you know,
if I may, I'll phrase it slightly differently, and I know exactly what you mean.
Okay.
But since I was the youngest of 3 children and my 2 older sisters were like, I was like having 3 mothers in effect, I was able to listen to a lot of the training that my sisters got. They don't, you know, after the fact in their 30s and 40s, they wouldn't admit to me that they were trained this way, but I heard the words. And I'm not saying that my mother was always right, but she usually was right.
Mm-hmm.
And the training was a woman was supposed to tell a man what to do until he realized. Let me rephrase that. A woman would tell a man she would lead a man until he realized that she would lead a man in a way that he was always in control.
Mm-hmm.
He would never know that she was leading him if she was doing it properly.
Right.
But we live in a different generation. We live in a generation where women are growing to the level of the man. They're growing from Malchut to Zerampin. There are some women who are already at the level of Bina, and it's up to the man to grow to that level. But if you look at the outer form of people, you don't know which is which.
So you're saying that this, we know that this is a process that has to happen so that the moon can increase to the size of the male, and then together they will expand seven times. So it is a correct process that's happening, you know. And I think with men, they're kind of stepping back and say, hey, what's happening, you know. And at some point, they would rather not. Maybe that's why they have relationships with other men. Don't know. Just saying. That's not the only reason. But they're growing so quickly that, and advancing so quickly that they're not quite sure what's happening.
It is very uncomfortable for the male in this generation. Because the traditional male role isn't clear anymore.
Right.
By the same token, it's just as uncomfortable for the female because her traditional role isn't clear anymore. And in my children's generation, I should say our children's generation, and our grandchildren's generation, you see a very different effect between the male and female relationships. And even the Me Too movement in this recently is very much part of what needs to happen. Well, I'm glad we accomplished one verse today.
Sorry.
Nothing to be sorry about. That's how I know we focused on it. We've been doing our work when we slow it down and really delve into things. So I thank you for that. Are there any more questions before we say shalom?
Well, I did, but I think I can say it. I have one, but I'll wait till tomorrow.
Well, you can ask it now. We have a few minutes, and I have to get off.
We discuss quite frequently about Malchut being the moon, and Zerampin representing the sun. And when you get into the discussion about leadership or rulership, that Malchut was diminished and no longer equivalent. But it almost sounds like there's a fate, some type of, and I've raised this question before, like a rulership with some type of other entity in both realms, for Zerampin and Malchut. I know there's only one creator, and he created a lot of things.
Yes, that is correct.
But it almost sounds like that he's delegated his responsibilities to other beings, to lower-level beings, on different planes.
That is correct. But it's not that he delegated the responsibility to the to the Tzaddikim, He said, here's Malchut that has no light of her own. I'm going to provide the light as a reflection from the moon at night, which is another metaphor for exile. And while you're in exile, the control of that exile, the control of the physical world, is delegated to the tzaddikim so that they learn how to control. They learn how to be a king. They have to be trained. The question is, have we learned? The tzaddikim are there. That's why you can, if you truly meet a righteous person, a tzaddik, and you go to them and ask for a blessing, their blessing to you will manifest. That's where you get all the stories about the Baal Shem Tov and the Magid de Mezrich, and all these tremendous tzaddikim over the last 300 years.
Do we have any of those people left in Israel today that are kind of like tucked away?
Not in my opinion. Hold on a second. Come in.
Okay.
Not in my opinion.
Was like Rabbi Kaduri like the last?
Rabbi Kaduri was one of those, but he did some things that he lost it. I'm trying to remember the Sephardic guys. Rabbi Kaduri was Sephardic, but the Chabad Rebbe was able to do that from the Ashkenazi side. If he blessed somebody or if he told somebody what to do, those stories are very real and very true. He had that capability. He never publicized it, and he was upset when his followers publicized it. And then there was Ben Ishchai was about 100 years ago. I'm talking about in the 90s.
Recent.
1990s.
Okay.
There were rabbis who could bring those miracles. I've even heard of a large business, Jewish-owned business, where they felt that before they made a decision, they made an offering. They gave tzedakah to a particular woman in Israel. They asked her what they should do, and whatever her answer was, they did, and it was always successful. So it is happening in this world. We just don't no longer have the revealed tzaddikim, only the concealed tzaddikim. And I don't have time right now to answer what the difference is and how you would know and so forth. But we can talk about it another time.
Okay.
So tonight's 7 o'clock West Coast time class, you're going to find very interesting because it has to do with hair. Have a beautiful evening. Hair, H-A-I-R. Shalom.
Okay. Shalom and thank you.